to episode 3 of How to Fail. In this particular episode, I'm going to talk about how I failed pornography, or how pornography failed me, I guess. When I was a young man, my first run-in with pornography was me going into my parents' room, which is probably similar to all of you guys, when I wasn't supposed to be in there, and running into my dad's absolute hot fire treasure trove of Blacktail magazine. Now, these magazines were essentially Playboy for black people. Now, the cool thing about Blacktail, if I was going to be looking at this type of material, was the publisher and the editor of that particular magazine was a black woman. So these were all editorials, letters, and of course, exotic images of black women through the lens of the black woman. Now, how did me and this run-in with pornography affect and shape my personality, my relationships, etc.? Well, let's talk a little bit about it. The first way that porn affects you mentally is that it rewires your reward center as a person. So essentially, because you can get this instant gratification, over time, what it does is it desensitizes you to things that take a little bit longer or require additional hard work. Now, for me, I've always had a hard work ethic because, fortunately, before I started with the pornography, I started working. Now, I can only imagine what would have happened if it was the other way around. But because I was already cutting grass, shoveling snow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I already had a really strong work ethic. So that wasn't something that affected me in terms of that. But what it did do is it allowed me to understand that I could endure, or I could not endure, because I knew I could always reward myself quickly if need be. Now, what it did do is it created a coping mechanism for me personally. I grew up in a very violent area, a dangerous area. I had a lot of friends who passed away when I was a kid. We didn't always have the most stuff, or we didn't always have things that other kids had, right? I wasn't fresh down from my head to my toe. Nobody was wiping me down in middle school or high school. I didn't get my first pair of Jordans until I was in my late 20s. And not that those things are important, but as a kid, they seem very important to you. So one thing, like I said, was it provided a coping mechanism for me. So if I was sad or if I was angry, I knew I could look at pornography, get the rush of endorphins, get the shot of dopamine, and I could, you know, get back to whatever it was that I was supposed to be doing. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to cope. A lot of them are negative. There are some positive coping mechanisms, but this was mine. And it lasted, unfortunately, from the time I was 10 until like I was 35, 36. You know, I'm 40 years old now. So my reward center is probably all jacked up. I had to go through quite a bit to rewire back to a normal understanding of cause, effect, and reward, right? Other things that porn can do is it can give you false expectations as men for, one, how to treat women, how to have respect for women. It can make you have expectations for things in the bedroom that just aren't realistic in real life. And you don't know they're realistic when you're a teenager, but if that's your impression of what it's like to be sexually intimate with someone, then that's going to obviously shape your, at least your first couple interactions that you have with females. That's why most females you talk to them about them losing their virginities, they say it was terrible. But it was terrible typically because they're also dealing with men who are inexperienced and they have got most of their information from pornography. These men aren't typically gentle. So it's not something where you are bonding, trying to be in a deep relationship with your partner. Hopefully you are at this point, fellas. If not, then, you know, we'll do another episode and we'll talk about how not to fail at sexual intimacy. Another thing that it can do is it can give you sexual conditioning, either good or bad. It can give you endurance, or it can also make you not have endurance. And it typically psychologically is on either end of that spectrum. For me, I'm probably way too far to the left. Transparency, right? So here we go. Because I started masturbating at such an early age, by the time I actually got ready to lose my virginity, it was really hard for me to orgasm. When I say really hard for me to orgasm, the reality of the situation is from having sex with a woman, it's really hard for me to orgasm. It's gotten better now that I've stopped masturbating these last several years, but you know, men fake orgasms too. And I was out there, you know, Robert De Niro in it, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that I couldn't orgasm from other ways. I could, but this was a result of pornography. Now, how did this affect those relationships? Well, obviously, I was with women that I cared about, women that I was, you know, growing and trying to build with. And a woman, every woman thinks that they got that jackpot. So, you know, you dealing with a woman telling them that you care about them, but they aren't able to make you orgasm. It definitely created a lot of tension in the bedroom for a lot of my relationships. There's a lot of women out there that thought, you know, had the trash box, but really that wasn't the case. It was really just me and my poor sexual conditioning from this pornography and masturbation addiction that I had at an early age. Porno at an early age also makes it to where you objectify women in different ways. Now, you might not be like me. I'm not a typical, a disrespectful dude. You know, I don't even curse for the most part, which most of you guys know who know me. I don't have an issue with it at all. It's just not the way that I typically choose to express myself. But a lot of men learn, you know, to call women bitches or, you know, look at them as sexual objects from pornography. So what does that mean? What it means is it can translate later in life to the ways that you didn't know. Let me speak from my personal example. Because I always saw women in these sexual ways, or I could whenever I wanted to, and it only got worse, right? So at least in the 80s and 90s, you had to go to a magazine or a videotape. By the time I was in high school or in college, the internet was on and popping. So, you know, mobile device, it was in your hand, it was on your computer. You could access it whenever you wanted to. Now, for me, the way that this translated is super subtle. So catch this, fellas. I grew up in relationships where I respected my partners. I'm not a 50-50 dude. I always do my very best to take care of every woman I've been with. I pay bills. I open doors. Parents love me. I'm a delight. But I do some things and I have some habits that are definitely detrimental and have been so to my relationships. One of the ways that I've objectified women that I didn't even realize I was doing it was through social media. Now, about 6 years ago, I was someone who didn't really care about Instagram likes or that type of stuff. What does that mean? What that means is I would go online, I would see a bad bitch. See what I did there? I would see a woman who was attractive and I might put some hard eyes under it, or I might, if she had a fatty, I might put a peach symbol, etc. It didn't matter who it might be. It might be Angela Bassett. It might be a porn star. It didn't matter. I was, you know, following porn stars on Instagram that I thought were attractive, or Instagram models, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I got into a relationship with someone that I had a lot of respect for, a lot of love and a lot of care for, and I went online and I was just living my normal life. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful or anything, but I saw, you know, a girl who I had followed for a while, a woman. And I think I made a comment on her like, looking good or something like that. Well, the person that I was dating at the time, she saw that and she brought that up to me. I never really realized that me going online and doing that type of stuff was disrespectful to her or the relationship that we were building. This was very early on when we first started talking, and I didn't understand. So I was trying to get her to cognitively understand from a psychological and logical standpoint, like, I'm never going to meet this person. This is just someone that's online. It's a form of entertainment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But for her, me not being attentive or open to thinking about her feelings and my actions and the way that I entertain myself outside of her purview or vision, it was a red flag for her. So I had to learn that the way that I conduct myself in the digital community affecting my relationship. The same person, so I stopped doing that. It was easy to stop doing it because I don't have relationships with these people. I just went in, unfollowed all these people. I think I just made a whole new Instagram. So that was easy for me to do. But other ways that this manifested was she came and she stayed with me for a little while. She went on my computer. And, you know, I try to be open. I don't typically have a password on my phone. I have a password on my computer, whatever, go for it. So I went to work one day, and while she was home, she went on my computer. So she went on my computer from the beginning of time. And whatever, if you go through your partner's stuff, whatever, I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you do what you feel like you need to do in your relationship. Anyway, so I was at work. She was at home. She went through my computer. She went through my email. She went through my browsing history since the beginning of the time. And nothing was recent. Because I had stopped partaking in certain things at that point. But she went on and she saw the types of pornography that I visited and sites and those types of things. And the thing about pornography is, like, for me, when I was into it, oh, I was a porn connoisseur. I could tell you the type of grape, the location, what the sun was doing when that vine bloomed. I looked at everything. Porn to me was like Costco samples. I'm never really going to buy these quinoa balls, but it's here and it's free, so I'm going to try it. So I would go and I would look at, you know, whatever was online that day, whatever was trending, whatever was interesting. And the thing about porn is when you start so early at age 10, by the time you're 30, you've seen every kind of porn. So I've gone through, you know, all types of crazy shit, you know. So regardless, she was taken aback by all the porn and all the stuff that she found. So when we had a conversation about it, she told me, you know, like, well, I don't look like this, you know, and it makes me feel like you're not really into me. And at this time, I was, you know, solving some of my sexual intimacy issues, my mental blocks in terms of sex and those type of things. So like it was the best sexual relationship I ever had at the time. So I didn't have no issues in the bedroom. But for her, we had created such a safe space in the bedroom that when she found this stuff, it made her question if it was real, even though it was real. It created some insecurities that didn't need to exist had I not had that porn addiction. So that's a real thing. It can create insecurity and self-image. I personally know for a fact that I have had that issue. Now, what I do realize now as an older and more mature man, and I'm talking about like in the last 2 years, is that, you know, I didn't need to have a poor self-image, but for a long time I had a poor self-image, especially when it came to, you know, sex and those types of things. I'm a bigger guy. Now, I'm not large, but, you know, I'm 6'7". I've never had a six-pack or anything like that. You just don't know. You never really know with women. With women that like you, at least in my experience, they don't really tell you that they like you, and they very rarely give you compliments that men would typically find to be the types of things that would, I guess, boost us up or give us our self-esteem. They might tell you you look handsome or something like that, but they're not going to tell you whatever you need to hear or whatever I felt like I needed to hear at the time. So, like, I had some insecurity regarding certain things, and that came from porn. Once again, it's things that come from porn. You very rarely see the guys that look like me, at least prior to now. You have your content creators who look like everybody, and they're all out there doing porn. I got out at the right time. You can have sexual dysfunction. You can have a decreased libido. You can have erectile dysfunction. You can have delayed ejaculation, which is the one I had. It is a marathon to be with me in the bedroom. That's just the way that it goes. But another thing that happened was that coping mechanism. So, you know what I'm saying? Getting up, paying bills, going to work. Life is hard as a black man. So I would pop one off in the morning. I would pop one off before I went to sleep at night. And that was my normal habit. I wouldn't even think about it. So I wasn't even in places where I would pray every day, but I was doing this multiple times a day. Fortunately, like I said, I've been delivered from that and those types of behavior. So that's a good thing. Now, another thing that I had to realize that happened with me is pornography created, and I'm going to go with what my therapist has said, it created a correlation with dishonest behavior. Why? Well, when I was 10 years old and I found my dad's porno mags, I couldn't be like, hey, Dad, what's this delicious amount of magazines that you found there? No, I knew it was something I wasn't supposed to be looking at. If I was supposed to be looking at it, it wouldn't have been in this drawer. But since it was in this drawer, I knew it was something that I wasn't supposed to have. So I had to lie about it. So it created this thing where I was intaking the material, right? Having a pleasure release, getting a dopamine release, and then lying about it. So positive interactions and lies became intermingled, right? So I could lie and that would give me the opportunity to have this dopamine release, right? It's secretive behavior, right? It wasn't something that was being done out in the open. So, you know, I was going up in my room, locking my door, spending that time with myself, whatever. And it creates that mental habit of these things that I do in the dark don't affect me, right? I can still get up and be a great student. I can still go out and be an awesome athlete. I can still be the hardest working person at my job. And then when I get home, I have this thing to look forward to that nobody knows about and it's okay. Trust relationship dynamics is one of those things that you have to watch as well. You can create a pattern of erosion that takes place with the things that you do that don't necessarily have large effects on the day-to-day interactions with your relationships, okay? If you get to a place where you are consistently lying because you think that the lies don't affect the people that you love or that you talk to on a daily basis, you will always put yourself in a position where when those things come to light, it directly damages everything that came before that revelation. All right, cool. So let me give you an example. Let's say, for instance, that you are absolutely killing it. You're doing your best to be the best person that you can be, but you tell a lie. And then you carry that lie for the next 365 days. So let's say that you tell a lie and then you carry that lie for the next year. Well, it doesn't matter how many flowers you bring or how many bills you paid or how many kittens or puppies you saved from trees. When they find out that you told the lie on day one, that whole 365 days is now in question. So now every single thing that you did during that period, the person that you're with, they're going to question if any of those things were genuine, what other things you were lying about, et cetera, et cetera. Even though it was really just this in your head, focused lie that you had. You might have these patterns and they might have started at an early age for any amount of reasons. For me, I had to reconcile, having a porn addiction and having secretive behavior with the way that I carry my self on a day-to-day basis in terms of the amount of truthfulness that I was willing to give to the people in my life. So basically, as long as I was doing the right thing and my best by people, it didn't really matter what was going on with me. I could tell secrets about it because I didn't think that it affected them in the long term, which wasn't true. This is called cognitive dissonance. Okay. So cognitive dissonance can occur when there's a conflict between your actions and also your moral and ethical standards, right? What does that mean? If an individual feels guilty or conflicted about the things that they're doing, like porn consumption for once, they might rationalize that behavior or lie to themselves or others to reduce psychological discomfort. So essentially, because you're a good person, because you do good things, you lie to yourself about the way that you lie to people because you don't think it affects them in any major way. And that's wrong. Psychology says that the behavioral spillover can manifest potentially in other areas where honesty is critical, thus affecting a person's individual overall propensity for truthful behavior. I'm reading that. I wrote it down. It was something when I was studying, when I wanted to talk about, it was interesting to me. Sex is such a private and intimate thing. And that's why I'm sharing it with all of you, millions of people who eventually see this, that the baseline of poor behavior in any regard or any sexual deviancy can very gently bleed over into other aspects of your life that you don't see. So what do we do about this? I don't know. That's the reality of the situation is I take it a day at a time. Tabitha Davis said something the other day and it struck with me. She said, healing is a journey. It's not a destination. So while you're on your journey towards whatever it is that you're personally going through, it's okay if you get triggered. It's okay if you backslide. It's okay if you make a mistake. It's okay if you completely fail and have to start over again, but start over again. It's a journey. Try to get better every single day, right? Get some positive influences, get some positive behaviors and hobbies. And it doesn't matter, even if you don't have porn addiction, still, these are wonderful and great tips to go out and do those things. If you, or as my grandparents would say, right? Idle hands are the devil's playground. So keep yourself busy with positive things. Try to be transparent, which is super hard, about everything, even things that you think are minuscule. That's what I'm doing. And be the light, right? If you're in a dark room and your cell phone goes off, it lights up the whole room, right? There's nothing that darkness can do that will stop light from shining, right? Summarily, or similarly, if you are in a well-lit space, there's no amount of darkness that can cover that light. So be the small light, right? It doesn't matter how dark it is, be the light. Gravitate towards positivity, gravitate towards positive things. Have positive influences. It was a lot easier for me to get away from pornography when I stopped looking at certain stuff. My algorithm now is like business, Christian stuff, relationship stuff. Like I very rarely get a girl bending over trying to let that coochie breathe on my algorithm. So now it's a lot easier for me not to ingest that stuff. And when you're not ingesting it on a daily basis, it gives you the opportunity to free yourself from seeing those types of things. 100%, like I said, full transparency. On my phone, I have an app. It is, I'm trying to pull it up right now. It's called Blocker Hero. I don't get paid by them or anything like that. But what it does is it blocks certain things or aspects. I don't know if this will focus. Maybe not. Nope. But it's called Blocker Hero. It's on your phone. And what it does is it just blocks, adult searches. It'll block all type of stuff. I had a hell of a time promoting this episode because every time I type porn, my phone was shut down. But I keep it on my phone just as a safeguard. You have to put things in place in order to not fall victim to the same traps that you felt victim to before. So for me, I'm trying to get free of some stuff. So I'm just putting some things in place to help me have a little bit of easier time doing that. That's really all I got. I don't have a whole bunch more to add to this. Do your best. Respect yourselves, respect your partners, and be the light. All right, that's me. Out.